Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we want to wish happy anniversary. It's a one-year anniversary to the two Nimrods who dressed up like astronauts so they could sit in the ballpark for Houston to watch them get destroyed in Game 7 of the ALCS. So happy anniversary to those two gentlemen.
You said Nimrods first, though.
Yeah.
They're just people. The team's Nimrods because they cheated to get a World Series.
They're Astros fans.
Okay.
Nimrods.
All right.
Although, to be fair, a good chunk of Jess's side of the family is Astros fans, and I like most of them. Now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much. Just got a text from our friend Kyle Yeomans, who will join us tomorrow during the C Block, and he said he would like to talk about the Star Tours tomorrow. So,
strong opinion. Man. Okay.
Interesting.
Who knew people had such strong opinions about this?
All right, Kevin, I'll let you choose the path, although we know whatever path Mike chooses is going to be the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
He's just smiling. Yeah. He's just sitting there smiling.
You can put the load back on or keep it off. It's up to you.
Do you want Cowboys trades, middle school football, or throat cancer?
Oh, my gosh. Cowboys trades?
All right.
I think you might have actually gone in the order.
Hey, guess what?
Them.
That's the order I wrote it as. Okay. So here we go. This is Katie Drummond, by the way, who does fantastic work. He put out there some names.
Not my sister-in-law.
No.
Who is also named Katie Drummond.
Katie, right? That's or KD, like KT. KD Lang.
Correct. KT.
So is her husband Mr. Drummond?
Yes.
Nice. That's cool. This is suggested trades. Interesting situation for several players with lots of interesting things on their resume. Number one, the Cowboys should trade Trey Lance.
For sure.
The Cowboys might not get a fourth. Most likely
they won't.
Won't get a fourth. But if he's just going to sit on your bench, what's the point in having him? He is actually, if I'm a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator that went into those cross the hall meetings, first thing I'm suggesting is we need to build some packages for Trey Lance to be able to run around. Dak can't run anymore. And just the threat of what Trey Lance can do to pick up first downs is a key to your team. Why not be creative and do it? And if you're not going to use that, go ahead and trade it, get something out of it.
I'm fine with trading him. I just don't imagine a team wants him at this point.
It feels like a conditional seventh, I feel like I'm like, sure, why not?
He does point out Deshaun Watson, Aiden O'Connell injuries. Obviously, the Dolphins are kind of still in a weird place. There are some teams that are without quarterback. Maybe that would be something that they would want.
The Dolphins
some
make a lot of sense.
Some compensation makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence, Mike, you've brought this name up a couple different times here, and he says he's two straight, four overall Pro Bowls, currently leading the team in sacks with three, and he's on IR, so that's a thing there. Two-way player, one of the best in the league at setting the edge. That's a reality. That's true. Issue is he's been dealing with Lenz frac sprain in his foot.
The other issue that you run into with DeMarcus Lawrence, and I bet this comes up with a lot of people on this list or just people you would trade in general, the players you want to trade are probably going to be lower on guaranteed money or on like the last year of their deal, right? Well, and that's inherently probably going to lower their trade value. It's not quite the same as you see in baseball where you're like, hey, you'll see plenty of rental trades and everything like that. It's not quite the same. And so DeMarcus Lawrence, on the one hand, it wouldn't crush you cap wise to move on from him, but is another team going to want to give up anything?
Do me a favor real quick, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your best offer for Trey Lance.
conditional seventh with an opportunity to go up to a sixth.
Same.
Okay. Give me your best DeMarcus Lawrence.
And by the way, you're going to notice a trend. A lot of these are going to be conditional offers.
When is DeMarcus Lawrence certain he's going to come back and play this year? That's what I'm worried about as a trade. Okay. If I'm Kansas City, I'm just throwing out a team here. What do I do with a guy who might not play this year? What am I giving you for a guy whose career might be over?
Conditional sixth is what I was thinking, with an opportunity to move up to a fifth.
Okay.
That's my best offer.
Okay. To me, as a general manager, I'm like, I can't. If Dallas is calling me, I'm like, that's I don't fair. Think I can trade for him unless you give me all the medicals, and then I have to give it to my guys, and then I have to almost like see where we're at today with the recovery to even, like, I just think that's so much. I'm probably going to go in another direction for a defensive end.
Okay. Zach Martin. And again, listen, the market on these guys can change drastically if a team needs a guard.
I'm at a fifth.
If they have a star guard that goes down and they think they're in a, like the Lions, let's say the Lions lose a couple of guards and they're like, we need a guard.
And is Zach Martin retiring? Am I trading for 10 games and he's retiring? Because most likely, that's what I'm hearing.
That's a great question. Honestly, I don't know how tradable I think Zach Martin is, just because you have so much money owed to him. I think if I'm the Cowboys, I'm begging and pleading for him to play next year and praying that he gets better. You know what I'm saying? Because like, his dead cap hit in 2026 is $17 million off avoidable years. And you're like, we might not even get to 2025. So honestly, mine there would be a second round pick, and that I would ask for. And I don't think there's any chance you're getting that.
Yeah, you probably, I think Bobby pointed out this morning, guards of like fifth round picks at best.
No, he's right. I don't think there's any chance
you're
getting that.
I'll say a potential fourth round pick. Potential, okay? And then Brandon Cooks.
He's hurt too.
Yeah, that like feels like another.
This is so tough as another general manager. I'm trading for hurt players.
Mm-hmm. Conditional seventh down to a sixth. I mean, if DeAndre Hopkins, who, I mean, I know he's been dealing with a hamstring, goes for a fifth that could go up to a fourth, I'd probably say a seventh that could be a sixth.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one was Chauncey Golston, who's, you know, third round pick, played reasonably well. And because of injuries, has kind of moved up the depth chart.
Yeah.
But he could be looked at as a contributing piece on a team that, as Katie Drummond says, might need some rotational help.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you saw a potential template for that today. Maybe conditional six that can work its way up to a five.
All right, Kevin, based on what we did, we traded five players. Oof. And we potentially have a sixth, fifth, fourth, sixth, and fifth. And if you take all of those, can you combine them for a fourth?
Yes.
And get a running back in that draft.
See, I think you...
That's how I'm looking at it.
I think you can. And with the exception of Zach Martin, I think all of those are easily tradable without like really putting a hurt on your cap. The Zach Martin thing, you're stuck. All right. I hate saying this because he is a no doubt Hall of Famer. But think about what you're looking at with him. If he doesn't play and he just retires, I'm assuming we don't ask for any of the money back, your cap hit for him is $26.5 million if he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If he does play and then retires after 2025, your dead cap hit is $17 million after that. So you just need to hope that he gets better.
Are you able to trade the picks to move up in the draft? Can you add those to something to move around?
That can definitely be a sweetener.
Here's what I'm trying to do. If I'm trying to move on from these players because I've decided that my team's not there, and Jerry has a different approach on this, obviously, than we do. But if I'm trying to do that, and I'm looking at this team going, it's a little too old, and there are some pieces that I'm not using that I could go ahead and give pawn off, then I'm trying to gain ability and flexibility in the draft next year because I know I'm not going to work in free agency. So do I just need more picks and then hope that I hit on darts? Or do I need picks that allow me to go get talent that I really want, that I think is going to be good in those second, third rounds that I can make a move with?
Can I tell you a positive bit of football news?
The Cowboys have been historically, or of late, at the bottom of the draft in the second, third round, right?
Yes.
If I if I pair another pick with it, can I move up in the on day two? Can
sure.
I move up on day
There's
three?
There's opportunities for that. Now, I know everyone will say it depends on how the board falls.
You got to find somebody to dance with,
and that is fair. Quick note for you. I know we expected this, but they've moved on to the final 50 in the modern Hall of Fame voting process. Former Cowboys Eric Williams, the offensive lineman, and Darren Woodson have both advanced to the next round.
Fingers crossed.
Agreed.
Darren Woodson deserves it. I'll say it. I'll shout it from the rooftops.
It's really interesting. Eric Williams doesn't get talked about more. It's probably just because it's a more finite time of greatness, but 3 of 4 years, he made first team all pro.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And two of those years were when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. So, I mean,
yeah, it's pretty damn good. It's very doable, but it just doesn't seem like Cowboys get much legs unless you were the superstar of the Cowboys. What if I traded Jake Ferguson?
I think Jake Ferguson probably has more value than he.
I know
probably.
You don't want to trade him because he's good, I don't have the money to pay him. I guess
the Cowboys are pretty consistent at drafting and letting that guy. Like, look at the history now. Schoonmaker's here, so they might look at Schoonmaker and go, "Yeah, he's replacing Ferguson."
Well, that's the highest value.
The
you've
word
got.
Is around somewhere in the third round.
That group.
So if you can get a third round pick for it, that's pretty effective.
Where do teams have desperate needs for at times during the season? Offensive tackle? How about Terrence Steele?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's another one that I don't disagree with
all
you.
Of a sudden,
I'm just going to look at those
probably
numbers.
There's five contenders that are like, holy cow, a starting tackle is available? Like, this doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I know the Cowboys won't do this. I was just like trying to play off of your game, but I'm like, you name players that are either hurt. But I'm like, hey, if you really want to start getting value, yeah, Micah Parsons, yeah, C.D. Lamb. But like, I start throwing out Terrence Steele and Jake Ferguson and Osa Odighizuwa. I start getting teams that are very interested, I bet.
It's actually not as bad as I would have thought cap hit-wise. It's still bad, but it's not like ruin your cap for sure bad.
Yeah. And again, that was just kind of a game of trying to – Mike's been talking about this all week. They did. Jared asked Jerry about it. Jerry had a different approach to it, obviously.
It takes work.
It does take some work to make that happen.
Trading. Yeah.
Speaking of work, I'm going to take a moment to brag a little bit.
Oh.
Mike, my seventh grade son last night played in a football game, and this was probably the most evenly matched game they played all year. The score was 20-14. And it was, like I said, most evenly matched.
Because they've usually been smoking folks, right?
Either they've smoked them or they had one game where the other team just beat the snot out of them. I don't know if you were here, Kevin. The dude was blitzing on the final play still. And I was come on. Everybody just wants to go home. But this night, tonight, or last night, was a fun game. The crowd was packed. It was a blast. And I sit down, and we are sitting, all the seats are on the same sideline. So it's not like we were split by the field. And we are sitting on the opponent's sideline. And I watched my son Carter, he's playing guard, just he pushes this one kid around. This kid's got at least 75 pounds on him. And Carter blows him up multiple times on the play. They end up scoring right behind him. Six straight plays they ran behind Carter. Like, I'm watching them going, hold on, they're running every play behind him right now. And they're just getting yards and yards throughout the entire night. And at one point in the first half, I see the coach of the kid that my kid is beating. He walks over and he says, you're our best player. What's happening? That kid's kicking your ass out there. The proudest moment, Mike, I think I've ever had of being Carter's dad was hearing an opposing coach tell his player that my son was beating his ass. It was so much. It was so cool.
You stand up and say, that's my son.
That's my kid. I did not do that, but I just took a lot of pride in it. And then I watched it. So
you can't handle 75. I don't know what your kid's number is.
55. But that being like just sitting there knowing that this kid started the season never playing a lot of sports. And just was like, this sounds really fun. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Now he's loving it. He wants to. He's like, I want to play pro football, Dad. I'm like, okay, we got a long way to go to get there. But it's that's that feeling of seeing your kid succeed. I don't think there's anything like it. Personal success, you're like, okay, I did it.
But you can't see him pass a math test.
Yeah, exactly. He's right about that. You just get the grade later.
We do get happy about the grades and proud of them, but it's the process of watching sports in a way, like or music or something. Like it's interesting because school, you don't get to see them succeed in school. You just get the final grade. You're not watching them. You crushed question three.
Yeah. And that was the feeling that I got was you crushed all the questions. He had all the answers last night. So I'm very proud of him.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on.
Say, what's up, ladies?
I didn't get to the throat cancer thing.
Well. Just have it around just in case. I'm sure Mike would love to start a conversation. Like I know.
Or tomorrow.
Coming up next, college football insider for The Athletic, Stuart Mandel, joins the show right here on 105 Through the Fan.
The 13th play of Texas A&M's first possession. Barber in zone with flags everywhere and a catch made by Thomas for a touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, we bring to you college football insider for The Athletic. It is Stuart Mandel. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'll be doing better, depending or worse, depending on how you answer this first question. I am an Aggie, and I have really been nervous watching a big chunk of this season. How do you feel about the A&M-LSU matchup and then potentially A&M's playoff prospects?
Well, I think this is definitely the swing game for both of them, and it's really hard to pick against either of them because they're both playing so well right now. You know, all the credit to A&M for, you know, coming off that Notre Dame loss in the opener, and I feel like, excuse me, they've gotten better and better. So just because it's at home, I think I'll lean toward A&M, but obviously LSU is playing pretty well of late, and I think whoever wins this game has an excellent shot to make the playoff, and this is very simplistic, and whoever loses is going to have their work cut out because they both have pretty tough schedules down the stretch.
Now, that could be simple, but could you tell us about the possibility of a super complex 8-team SEC tiebreaker?
I think there's going to be a crazy tiebreaker in both the SEC and the Big Ten this year because they have such big conferences and such uneven schedules, especially in the SEC. Just for fun, in my mailbag today, I did sketch out an 8-team tiebreaker or an 8-team tie of everybody going 6-2, and honestly did not require, you know, some crazy Mississippi State knock somebody off kind of scenario. Every, you know, team's losses among those two losses are definitely possible. Is that actually going to happen? No, especially because there will be losses that you don't see coming, right? Somebody from the bottom eight will beat the top eight. But if I can come up with eight, you know, that way, then – I'm sure we can come up with four and you know, half of these teams finishing with the same record, which would also be really messy.
Has the transition of the teams that moved into the SEC been better or has it just lived up to exactly what you thought it was going to be?
Well, Oklahoma's been disappointing. I mean, Texas, despite what happened the other night, you know, I think you have to say has fit in just fine. I think Steve Sarkisian did a great job in his recruiting of having that program ready to go in the SEC. And then Oklahoma, it's crazy that they were ranked as recently as they were.
Yeah. 'Cause
I don't know, they're going to have a hard time making a bowl game unless You know, obviously, he changed offensive coordinators this week. He's going back to Jackson Arnold at quarterback. If he looks much better than he did early in the season, then maybe they've got a decent chance. But all season long, the offense has just looked completely broken and kind of wasting, frankly, that Brent Venables did what he said he was going to do and build Oklahoma and build up their defense. This is the best defense they've had in a long time there. You know, it would be easy to say they weren't prepared for the SEC, but I don't know. I think they'd be having the same problem in the Big 12 right now. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a quarterback.
We were struggling to answer this question yesterday. This is going to be the biggest Notre Dame Navy game since when?
The 40s?
Yeah.
60s?
Yeah. That's kind of what we thought.
There were a couple games, you know, I feel like Charlie Weiss, early Brian Kelly. Like at one point, that was the longest streak, a winning streak of one opponent over another, and Navy finally broke it. And that was a big deal. But it wasn't like, you know, Navy was, I don't believe Navy was a top 25 team. And certainly we didn't have a 12-team playoff at that time, where if Navy wins this game, suddenly they've got realistic, you know, aspirations to be that group of five team. So, yeah, definitely high stakes for both of them.
Can you explain Indiana's rise to me
In
football and like, is it for real?
If you watch any of the Nebraska game, if there was any thought beforehand that it was fluky, there isn't now. I mean, they beat them 56-7, and Nebraska is not Georgia, but they were 5-1. They had a top 10 defense, and it was a complete blowout. And you know, they are benefiting from a lighter schedule when you talk about unbalanced schedules. But that's a really good team. And I don't have a like some sort of, you know, deep insight on why they're doing it other than to say the transfer portal to me has created great parity. The exact opposite of what Nick Saban predicted, that it would be the rich getting richer. That a program like Indiana, Kurt Cignetti gets there, first of all, gets a bunch of guys from James Madison to follow him, goes and decides, you know, picks his quarterback, and his quarterback, Curtis Rourke, he's injured now, but the guy from Ohio has been very good. Like, there's guys all over that field that are new this year, that were not part of a 3-9 team last year. And it's just unbelievable. And I would say the same thing about Vanderbilt, how a team that is, you know, really a program that's been really struggling, if you hit in the portal, not just one guy, but a bunch of guys, can drastically improve from one year to the next.
Talk with Stuart Mandel from The Athletic right here on 105.3 The Fan, breaking down that college football. Now, Indiana is one of just two teams in the country, along with Army, that hasn't trailed in a game this season. Army feels like another one that I have to admit, I did not see an undefeated start to the season coming.
Army, you know, is very interesting because, you know, I did a story going into last season. Jeff Munkin got away from the under center triple option that Army had always done because of rules changes about blocking, about chop blocks, that he thought they needed to go more into like a modern spread option. And that did not work. So he went back to what he knows, and they're just killing people. Now, you talk about a light schedule. Every conference team they've beaten so far has a losing record. Some of them are 1-6 or 2-5. So I don't think little bit of caution there in terms of the dominance they've had to this point. But, you know, this is, you know, to be 7-0 at this point in the season. And by the way, they've still got, you know, Air Force is not very good. UTSA is not very good. But they'll play North Texas, who's, you know, better this year, and obviously Notre Dame and Navy. So it'll be interesting to watch them down the stretch.
I appreciate you giving a compliment to my mean green at North Texas. Thank you very much.
You're off to a good start, and the coach is, you know, telling people, hey, 11 a.m., deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. The Cam Ward. And
I like this guy.
And what Miami is doing. Can you kind of explain? Because I was asking that question before the season. Are they the best team in Florida? And it looks like they're really pushing to be one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, and Cam Ward has been everything they hoped he would be in more, just the swagger he plays with. You know, if you ask Washington State fans, he's a bit of an adventure there. You know, he can be great one moment, throw an ugly pick the next. But he obviously didn't have the talent around him he has at Miami, who also brought in, there's another transfer portal heavy team with a lot of money in their NIL collective, who brought in Damian Martinez from Oregon State, great running back, Sam Brown from Houston, great receiver, and a lot of other guys as well. they are living a little bit dangerously. I don't think they have a great defense. They've gone down to the wire the last three games. There are people who genuinely think the ACC replay people have, you know, are doing their work for them. Because I think all three have come down to a big review, but like they were the right calls. So you can call it a conspiracy if you want, but they got those calls right. So you know, them and Clemson, right? I think are the two to beat in the ACC. Though SMU is certainly making a case as well.
Also, how does college football keep fans from getting plays overturned by not throwing beer bottles on the field anymore? Like how do they approach that? The $250,000 fine should be enough or what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the way the SEC's handled it. I mean, obviously they you're right, they you know, big fine. It's interesting they said that they're going to make Texas try to like prosecute people or kick them out of the stadium. We'll see how that goes. Obviously that would be a pretty big deterrent. But I'm just really disappointed there hasn't been any further explanation of why that all happened the way it did with the delay and then overturning a call that they'd already marked off. You can say, well, they got the right call in the end, so all worked out. Yes, but like you said, we need an explanation to know to keep the conspiracy theories down. And at this point, what Kirby Smart said after the game is absolutely right. The precedent that was set here is if you throw enough stuff on the field and delay the game and give them more time to either watch the replay on the scoreboard or just think about it some more, you can get your call overturned. And they're just going to let that sit out there, I guess. And, you know, well, they're going to really regret that if this happens again in a game this week or at any point in the season.
Where we're at in the season, who do you have right now playing for the national championship?
I think after all is said and done, it might still be the same two teams I had before the season in Georgia and Ohio State. I am very impressed with Oregon, and obviously they beat Ohio State, and I'm not trying to take that away from them. But I'm also not going to everybody wants to fire Ryan Day. It was a one-point loss on the road in a hostile atmosphere with a really weird ending. I mean, they basically played to a draw. And so Ohio State, they're going to prove it one way or the other down the stretch. They have to go to Penn State. They get to play Indiana. We'll see how that goes. Michigan's obviously not very good this year. So, you know, I think they're going to be very battle-tested. Georgia obviously is going to be battle-tested. But the SEC is so deep with contenders this year that it may be that Georgia ends up not even playing in the SEC championship. You know, it's again, crazy tiebreakers might be involved.
Fun hypothetical here for Ohio State. Their two top running backs are averaging 6.9 and 8.2 yards per carry. If Zeke Elliott got to go back to college today, could he actually do that?
It's a great question. I think that was a pretty good, if you think back to Ohio State around that era, a pretty darn good offensive line and a very talented team. And so somebody who follows Ohio State a lot closer than me would have to compare the two. But, you know, Zeke Elliott's college career to me is now always synonymous with the game where they lost to Michigan State and he came out afterward and threw the coaches under the bus for not giving him the ball enough. Mm-hmm. If Chip Kelly was his offensive coordinator, he would not have to worry about getting enough carries.
Man, awesome stuff. We appreciate the time very much, good sir. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, thank you again.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. College football right here on 105.3 The Fan. That was absolutely interesting. I have another thing I want to add to you.
What do you think? Do you think Zeke would be worse than the two top running backs? I do too.
Absolutely.
I think Zeke would average like 5 yards a carry Ohio State this year.
I think there's no question he would be worse. You remember Frankie Muniz?
Yes, he was in it's the middle show.
Malcolm in the Middle,
yeah.
He played Malcolm.
Good for him.
He is now
Agent Cody Banks.
I guess that is true.
Lead role.
He's been racing for a while now.
Like sprints?
Against like Carl Lewis?
Slalom?
Yeah, against Carl Lewis. He has landed a full-time seat in the NASCAR Truck Series for 2025.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's what he did with all his money, huh?
I know.
Watch out, Jeff Gordon.
I don't think it is his team that he like sponsors all of.
He's just racing, huh?
Yeah, he could have made it of his own accord, maybe.
Oh, he was in Big Fat Liar. Oh, he was in a movie called Racing Stripes.
Dick Trickle still racing?
How long has it been since you like sat down and watched a race?
Years.
Okay. Is there any chance? Well, you don't even know who this person is, so you probably won't watch this. Yeah.
He's in the middle.
Have you ever seen that show?
I think so. Did the guy who sold drugs?
Brian
yes.
Cranston.
Yeah, he was in it. There, he's the daddy.
There are some people who like to throw out the idea that that is somehow the sequel series.
Oh, really?
Breaking Bad, right? Or is it the prequel series?
Prequel?
One of those where like either he survived and then he picked up a family, or this just broke him and how mean his wife was.
Clint Boyer.
You know what? We'll get some contemporary racing talk going for you at another time.
Sweet.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, let's talk about Men's Tea Clinic, guys. I went to Men's Tea Clinic over a decade ago. They had one location in Addison. Now they have five DFW locations. Why? Because so many men have gone to Men's Tea Clinic over the years and noticed a major difference in their life, a positive difference. You get treated like an individual at Men's Tea Clinic. Obviously, the bread and butter there is testosterone replacement therapy. That's what they started off with. But now, when you go to their website, menstclinic.com, you're going to find the five DFW locations, and you're going to find all types of therapies. The best thing to do right now, if you can, go to menstclinic.com, find the location that's nearest you, find all the things that you think could work for you, and then give them a call at 972-GO-MEN'S-T. That's 972-GO-MEN'S-T. Get your appointment. This is covered by insurance. If you don't have insurance, cash options are available, and they're going to get you back to being you. You're going to have so much more energy, I believe. You're going to have better focus. It could be, what's today, Wednesday? Hump day. All right, you know what that could help out with.
Yeah.
All right, 972-GO-MEN'S-T, guys. Bobby and Derek, the founders of Men's Tea Clinic, they're amazing. They started this because they wanted to be treated like an individual, and that's how you're going to be treated at Men's Tea Clinic.
Watched by Gobert. Davis makes his move. Shot clock winding down.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome, Higgy. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Good. I wanted to know, thank you for asking, how much, I know the Mavs don't get started until tomorrow, how much did you partake of the NBA yesterday? And did you care when the Celtics raised the banner that's not ours, or when the Jameses played together?
Well, you know, Wolchuk apparently did get a little bit. I think it's the fatherhood that's in him now.
Wow!
I think
did it hit you in the feels?
I thought it was kind of cool.
He had a No-Sean Marino tear.
Yeah, once it happened, I did have the game on the second TV with the volume down. All of a sudden, I see Bronny's checking into the game. I put the volume up. I'm watching it. I thought it was pretty cool. Now, it is funny when you're watching Bronny run around, it looks like a fan has just won a competition to be able to play with the Los Angeles Lakers. He totally looked out of place, but I did think it was neat. Like, we're never going to see this again. There's something to be said about this. To me, it's all LeBron moment. The fact that he's been able to play and play at this high of a level this late into his career to make this thing even possible is pretty amazing. And Bronny, I get it. He's not an NBA player, but the uniqueness of this, the history of it, I thought was pretty cool.
We had Robert Horry on earlier. Sorry.
I was just wondering what Michael Jordan was thinking, not getting Jeffrey in a game back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
That's
good. Guy was at Illinois.
He could have if he really wanted to.
Oh, yeah. He had the pull to do that.
He should have done it.
But I thought it was cool for LeBron, you know?
Yes.
I didn't see it live, you know. I had stuff to do, so I was, at soccer practice and getting home and doing all that stuff. But, you know, seeing the highlights, I think, you know, there's one of two reactions to it. Either people are saying this is the dumbest thing ever, it's stupid, it's silly, ha-ha, Bronny's not a real NBA player. Or people are, like, you know, touched by the moment of it, you know. And yeah. I think if you're a LeBron fan,
sure.
And you're appreciating how long his run has been and that he's still so good and powerful that at age 40, a site that really only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in my lifetime has been able to still dominate the game at. You know, he's still that good that he can just effectively force the greatest franchise in the history of the game into playing his son.
Now, talking about the Lakers, we had Robert Ori on earlier, and he said Anthony Davis is clearly the best player on that team. And we were wrapping it up. That kind of took me by surprise, because I guess at least going into the season, that is not the way I feel.
You were thinking Rui Hachimura?
Probably not.
You and me both.
Connect.
Do you think that, okay, well, let's give him a minute. That's why RJ watched that game, though. He was hyped.
Oh, yes.
Do you view that as the way this year is going to play out, is that LeBron is going to be the second best player on that team?
No, I don't think he's second fiddle to many. You know, I still think LeBron's a top 10 player. You know, I think at times in the regular season he coasts. Last night, maybe his energy was off, his focus was off. But no, if LeBron's not producing a lot, it's because he's pacing himself or it's the rare off night. That's what I would attribute that to. But once it gets to the playoffs, you'll see he's the best.
Right. Yeah, when it matters most. Anthony Davis is obviously good enough to, on any given night, be that guy. And I think more often than not in the regular season, he will kind of have to take ownership of that. But it is just LeBron pacing himself to some extent. But he was unbelievable last night.
I agree.
I mean, his box score, that was impressive. Stuffing it.
Now, I'm really glad Broadus is here, because I had a
Broadus is here.
Oh, hey,
question
Brian.
For Mr. Broadus as well. We've talked about it. There's still a long ways to go in the process, but the modern Hall of Fame cut down to 50 candidates, and Darren Woodson remains on the list, as he should. But another person we don't talk about a whole lot is Eric Williams. Eric Williams, for a span of 4 years, he made first team All-Pro 3 times. The Cowboys won the Super Bowl in 2 of those years. And I just kind of wanted to throw it back for like maybe some of our younger listeners, or if you just don't remember, like I remember Eric Williams was dominant.
Nasty.
Reggie White hated playing against him. Maybe the only offensive tackle or player that Reggie White ever feared was Eric Williams.
Wow.
Car accident cut his career short. Wasn't the same player afterwards. Longevity of career might be a problem there. So that's something that he's going to have to deal with. But I know there were many a day where we would play a game against Dallas and Reggie White just feared playing because of what Eric Williams did to him on a by game basis.
That he played dirty, or
he was
it
really dirty?
Okay.
And Reggie feared that because Eric Williams wasn't afraid of him, where most offensive tackles were. And Eric would do anything he could to block Reggie. And Reggie knew that. And that was the problem, that Reggie actually feared for his safety in those games.
Oh, wow.
Because of the way that Eric Williams played.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's kind of the style.
Man, that is, yeah, I mean, the
just
game.
Just nasty.
Like most sports, the game is wildly different than it was
maybe
just 30 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe that's why the consideration isn't there. Maybe there's some.
Who would you take in a fight?
Oh, to me, because the fact that Eric fights dirty. Yeah. Reggie was a really powerful guy. I mean, you've seen that. You've seen highlights. But Eric Williams.
Clean.
Eric Williams is one of the, like I say, when you watched him play, his technique wasn't always great, but the way that he was able to kind of keep himself in position, but he would hold, he would punch, he would gouge, he'd poke Reggie in the eyes.
Open-handed slap.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, if you had to say, you would be hard to bet against Eric Williams in a fight. Yeah.
How much do you guys care? Because we've heard some of these quotes before, but one of the big stories on ESPN that took over is the tours of the star and all of the implications. Are you guys invested in that? Do you care one way or another? Do you have fiery opinions one way or another? Because what I threw out there was there's a lot of reasons that the Cowboys don't win. I don't think this is anywhere close to being one that matters.
Yeah, it's just a microcosm of the...
That's a good way to put it.
The entire situation, which is we know there's a bunch of priorities ahead of winning on the list. And this is just one example of that.
Yeah, that's the line that I think Fowler threw out there was the main thing is the main thing.
And he's calling Cap on it, by the way. Did you see him?
Really?
He said like that quote, he called it Cap.
Okay.
Out of context.
Did he post a cap? Like he just posted
the hat emoji.
Cap on Twitter. Yeah. Okay. All
he
right. did.
I know we'll have the Nooch jump on with us at 3:20. He had some opinions on that, you know, regardless on if he saw the field or not, which he's very open about. But yeah, I agree. I think that it's just kind of like an overarching, like, there's a lot of players that I don't think that this is a story. They're going to laugh this off. Like when Dalton Schultz said it, I think that takes a lot of people off. And they're like, maybe Dalton Schultz saying it is what takes people off. But I don't know. It is part of the problem, but it's also an excuse.
I find people very respectful when I'm over there. They're told not to interact with the players or staff or anything like that.
It's a look, but don't touch.
Yeah, it's situation. A very much a they. You know, you have lunch. They walk by. They're explaining Tom Landry's fedora, and the fans are kind of looking around and a little bit of awestruck of what they're seeing with, you know, with Dak Prescott having lunch or, you know, Jerry Jones or whoever having lunch. But I've found that like any time that I've ever had to go through to get to the podcast studio, there'll be a tour, and they quickly move everybody to the wall. They say, please, please, everybody move to the wall, and everybody moves to the wall, and you walk through, and you're like, well, thank you, you know. And I tell you, like, I've had more. What's that?
No, I'm just teasing. Yeah.
What did you say?
I said, you're like, that's right.
No, get up against the wall. But no, I feel almost embarrassed. You know, I'm like, I'm not anybody there. And so, you know, they come through, and I always find myself interacting with people because they're told not to talk to you. So I always tell people good morning and hello and all that. And, you know, and people still don't say it back to you because they're told not to say anything.
Yeah.
Unless you're talked to. And so I don't find it an inconvenience at all. You know, I really don't. But what's interesting is that people do.
Yeah.
And living in that environment for all those years when the Star first opened, I was there. It's just unusual to have people walking by while you're having lunch and that kind of stuff. That's the part that's kind of different.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
We will have Ben DiNucci at 3:20. We'll have Joe Varden, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, at 5.
All right. Looking forward to that. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Old ladies are fun.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.